Welcome to Season 10, Episode 5 of Hunter Logan Unmiked. Today, I'm talking about CS, Caregiver Syndrome. It's a real thing. I didn't know about it. Never heard about it until, a couple of months ago, I guess. Caretaker syndrome is a state of physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion that occurs when a person provides long-term care for a loved one with a chronic illness, disability, or aging-related condition. The symptoms of caregiver syndrome are physical exhaustion, emotional distress, anxiety or depression, guilt, mental fatigue, difficulty concentrating, forgetfulness, sleep disturbances, changes in appetite, neglecting own health, irritability, withdrawal from social activities, increased risk of health problems. That's the symptoms of caretaker syndrome. Now, there is no specific diagnostic test for caregiver syndrome. The diagnosis is based on a clinical evaluation that includes review of symptoms, medical history, assessment of the caregiving situation. The prevention of caretaker syndrome is to seek help early. Don't wait until you're exhausted to ask for support. Set clear limits on your caregiving responsibility. Take time to care for yourself. Remember, I've said this before. If you're not healthy, then you can't take a... If you don't take care of yourself to keep yourself healthy, then you can't take care of no one else, because you'll become sick. All these symptoms, physical exhaustion, emotional distress, mental fatigue, difficulty concentrating, forgetfulness, anxiety, depression, sleep disturbances, change in appetite, irritability, withdrawn from social activities. I had all that. I just didn't have anything left in the tank. It was on empty. But the depression part of it, I refused to have that. I just didn't have no drive left. I've never been a person to get depressed. I'm blessed that way. But I knew something wasn't right, because I no longer cared about doing anything. I was very irritable. My appetite did change. I did have mental fatigue because I couldn't concentrate. I'd forget things, which is not like me. I'm not forgetful. After going back and finding out about this, I went back. It hasn't been because of my wife since February 23, when she got ill, and I'm still taking care of her. It was before that, and it was in succession for the last 2 years before 23, so that'd be 21, 22. I had to take care of my dad. I was the only one around to take care of him. I'm talking about my biological dad. I call my stepfather, he's my dad. And we established that in earlier episodes. I had to take care of him. I was the only one around to take care of him. And he was notorious for doing stuff like this. I told him, I said, "Dad, listen, I know I'm all you got. When you need something, if something needs to be done, you got to let me know ahead of time. You got to let me know ahead of time so I can schedule it." But he was the kind that would get in the middle of doing something, and then he'd get in a bind and have to call me. He'd call me and say, "I know you told me not to do this, but I was dying to help." And then I'm like, "Yeah, you make it worse, because now I got to stop what I'm doing, figure out, I'll take care of you." And to make things worse through all this, it really got bad towards the last part before his death, though. I had power of attorney, and I took care of everything for him, pretty much, until there was another issue that came up about the house. This house caused me more problems than what it was worth. And in the end, this house would have my dad wanting to sue me, saying ugly things to me. And I'm the one who helped him. But through help of his ex-wife, she scooped in and got power of attorney, a new one, over mine. Which at this point, I didn't really care. Thing about it, I had been dealing with, the house issue, the family issue, and then the death. And then straight into Roiland. and her issues. In prior episodes, you'll find I talk about the divorce between my parents. Well, as a 20-year-old in Germany, stationed there, so this house that caused all these problems, it was my grandmother's house. And I stayed there during when I was younger. She babysit me a lot. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. I love my grandmother. Well, when my mom and dad divorced, he went in and lived in the house, which was his mama's house. So my dad was, you know, living there. But then with his new wife, he wanted to build a new house, new brick house and everything. But they couldn't do it unless the house they were in there was out of their name and it'd be my name. And like an idiot, if I would have had foresight in this, I wouldn't have done it. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I'm in Germany. They're just sending me pay. I'm signing. I'm not paying attention to any of that because I got my own thing going on. And I'm overseas. I'm like, so we get it all signed over. It's in my name. And they get to build the new house. Well, he's renting the house out and getting rent off of it. I'm like, that's not right. If that's the case, then you should give me some of it, if not all of it. It's not your house. It's not your house to rent out anymore. You know, that was early on. Then my stepmother at the time, then his wife, the one who caused all these problems, one my dad left my mom for, she left him. And when she left him high and dry. His house was going into foreclosure because the house note hadn't been paid in 4 months. Electricity was getting ready to get cut off. Water was getting ready to get cut off. None of those bills were paid. Because she'd used that money and use it for a down payment on her house. She got a little house, got some help. So, I went ahead. Now my dad's just stuck in the chair, moping, sad, all that stuff. And at this time, I'm still playing Swamp Pop. So I get him and take him with me and kind of get him going. And then I figure out, I call all the bill places. I got it to where I could keep the house, got on the phone with the FHA people. Got the utility sorted out. Got everything sorted out, got him going. And then, while he's in this house, the new house that he built, my in-laws needed a place to stay. That house needed some fixing up. And I let them stay there. Now, Roland's dad's wishes were for her sister's son to be able to have the house. I was totally against that. I really didn't want her parents to move in the house, first of all. But they really didn't have a place to go, so at the time. This house has been nothing but a stone around my neck. So while this is all going on and everything, and then Roland's family starts getting into it about the house. Well, it should be after the dad dies. It should be mine, should be this, should be that. And I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to take care of the house. But from him living in there and my in-laws being in the nursing home and the grandchild staying in there by himself, the house got tore up. He let people come stay in there. And I mean, it was in bad shape. Now I'm carrying insurance on this house. Somebody could carry insurance on it. Now I had to make a decision. The house, it's coming a liability. I sure didn't want it to come back on the station. I sure didn't want it to come back on me. I couldn't do nothing. His house is in my name. I made myself known to all the brothers and sisters and told them how I didn't like it to begin with. I don't think he should get the house, but I'm going to sign it over because I don't want the liability of it. It's not worth anything anymore. And the neighborhood has went down. It went down bad. Nothing but drugs back there and that kind of junk. So I signed it over. Now his other son, who is my half-brother, who's gone now, he was always in and out of jail, in prison, doing drugs, never could get clean. And unfortunately, that's how he passed away. But he went to the house there because he didn't have a place to live. He never could keep a job. And he couldn't make it in the military even. But anyway, he couldn't keep a job. So he wanted to stay there. And then my dad had found out that I had signed the house over. Now, keep in mind, they were never nowhere to be found when I was taking care of their father. It all fell on me. my dad gets all outraged about it. Why did you do that? Why didn't you? And I'm like, so in 30 years, you never once asked about it. In 30 years, you never once went over there. Am I supposed to keep this as a shrine for you? I mean, it was in bad shape. It was worth nothing. And it was a hazardous. The city was even wanting to condemn it. But in his last days, well, not last days, last, probably the last 6 months of his life, he threatened to sue me. And I got tired of hearing. I'm like, go ahead and do it then. Go ahead and do it. Do what you got to do. And in the thing that I had signed, it had said that if I was ever to get rid of it, I had to give them first, the brother and the sister, first chance at it. But that's only for the first 10 years. After 10 years in Louisiana, that's void. There's no such thing as that. Heck, I didn't even know how to get a hold of them anyway. I never see them. My sister was in jail, or my half-sister. She was in jail. Lost all her kids. I think she's doing better now. I don't know. I don't know what their mama told them about me, but the relationship was always strained. Not on my side, because my door was always open, and I told them that. But that never seemed to happen. After dealing 2 years of that, straight into my wife getting paralyzed and having a rare condition of transverse myelitis, that was in January of 23, and it's still going on. I still, you know, she can't put her shoes on. I got to do that. She still needs help in the shower. She just can't do much. So I'm having to go back and forth from here to there, from my house to the station, and try to do. So now by this point, July of this year, 25, I'm just spent emotionally, physically, mentally, because I've been dealing with that. And it didn't stop. I went directly from that situation with my dad, which was very stressful. This with Roland, which is carries some stress with it too. So I go see the doctor, because this caretaker syndrome stuff is really a thing. But the doctor figured out, after talking to me, that I may have some of that, but it's, you know, the real thing is I'm out. I'm empty. I don't have, mentally, I'm exhausted. I can't, I'm just fried, man. So he gives me some medicine to take, and I forget what it is. Fluoxetine, I think. Actually got me back to myself. Got me back to my normal self. So whatever that stuff is, was, I needed it to get back to where I was. Now, during all of this, I still put out music. How, I don't know. I don't even know how that happens. But I know that I put God first. And I continually do that. I strive to keep him first. There's so much more I could tell you that happened. Bad stuff that happened. But at the end, this lady went in and got power of attorney and turned my dad against me. So I'm like, you know, I told her, I said, that's twice. When I was 14, you did the same thing. And I said, you took my dad away. And then here at the last of his days, you're going to do the same thing. I forgot I was on his account, because I handled everything for him. So after he's passed, the government sends his check. Of course, they're living in the house, my half-brother at the time. Well, she paid for electricity bill, paid for cable, TV, spent the majority of his check. And I'm like, the bank wants the money back. And I called her, I told her, I said, listen, I ain't never seen a dead man cook a meal on a stove or sit and watch TV or talk on a cell phone. And I knew what she was doing. But the bank wanted the money back. See, the bank sometimes will put the check in early because they know they're getting it from the government, right? Well, he died before the actual date of the check. They just happened to send it early that weekend. So they wanted the money back. But I didn't get it back from her. She lied even more. I guess she thought I was stupid. I guess she thought I was still 14. Because she said she went to the Social Security office and gave them the money back. And I'm like, you can't do that. One, you have to have an appointment. You just don't walk in. I know that for sure. Two, nobody at the Social Security office is going to take money, cash from you, and put it in somebody else's account. As far as they're concerned, they sent the money. It's not Social Security that has an issue. They could care less because they sent the check out. It's the bank that wants the money. So yours truly ended up getting stuck again. That just added on to everything else. Lie, lie, lie. That woman's still lying. Now, I don't hate her. Because you can't go to heaven with hate in your heart. So I don't. But I certainly don't have nothing to do with her. And I told her. I said the best thing for you to do. Because she likes to play under the guise of church. She disguises herself under the church. I said the best thing for you to do is when you see me, don't come up to me and hug me. I said, we have nothing. Nothing anymore. There's nothing that ties me to you or you to me. So I said, you want to come to church? Fine. You can come to church where I'm at. It ain't going to bother me none. But don't come up and hug me. Don't come up and start talking to me like we're great or whatever. Or like we got a great relationship, because we don't. I said, I don't trust you. I don't hate you, but I don't trust you. And I don't want to spend any time around you, because you're just bad juju. And you cannot hate somebody and not spend some time with them. Bible says you have to love everyone. You love them from a distance. Now, I pray for the lady. I finally got to a point a year or so ago where I could pray for my enemies. And I pray for them. I honestly do that. But caretaker syndrome is real. For those of you who are experiencing that, I get it. I so get it. And I have such a new respect for caretakers. And you almost have to be called to do that. Well, I do the best I can, the majority of it. And have been doing it. But you can come to a point to where you're just physically and mentally exhausted. And you just feel like you exist. That's how I felt. I'm just existing. Wasn't excited to come to work no more. And that never happened. Wasn't excited for anything. I'm just blah. It's a big blah. I'm just eating more sweets than I normally eat. Not exercising on my bike. Just not taking care of myself like I used to. Because I don't care. But thank goodness, God cares. He cares about you, and he does have a good will towards you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope for a future. A future without hope is bleak, but a future with hope, that's awesome. That's the God stuff right there. Yeah, this one was pretty serious, but it's unmiked, and that's why it is like it is. Hey, I love you and appreciate you. Thank you for those who do listen. Check me out, thehunterlogan.com. Tune in to hleradio.com. Download the app. I'm live on the morning show, 7 to 9, Monday through Friday. I'm going to leave it right there. I'll see you on the next one.